Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here and it turn this on. It's good to be here and it's good to be in the service of our Lord. I want to note the administrations. Just the fact that when we come together, we come needing the Lord. People come up and they're administered to. We come, and our intents and our desires are toward Him. I have kind of a belief that I think I share with all of you that, you know, when we come to the Church of Christ, that's one thing that should be evident. Everything should testify of Jesus. This is His church. And that's really where my heart and mind is today. I know we've all had a lot of things that have gone on this week. In my family, we've kind of had a rough road this week. And it's kind of like I was standing out front of my house recently talking with my neighbor. And one of the things he said was, you know, I don't know how people survive that don't have God, that don't believe. He's been through a lot of things. He lost his wife about the time they moved in across the street, which is real recently. So that's really what I'm here for today, is to proclaim Jesus. And I really want to start with a very significant time in the history of this hemisphere, the time after Jesus was crucified, when he came to teach and to perform miracles and set up his church here on this land. I'm turned to the third book of Nephi, and I think I'm going to start reading. Maybe I'll start with the 10th verse. This is on page 672. And it came to pass that the disciples whom Jesus had chosen began from that time forth to baptize and to teach as many as did come unto them. And as many as were baptized in the name of Jesus were filled with the Holy Ghost. And many of them saw and heard unspeakable things which are not lawful to be written. And they taught and did minister one to another, and they had all things common among them, every man dealing justly one with another. And it came to pass that they did do all things even as Jesus had commanded them. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they which were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. And it came to pass that as the disciples of Jesus were journeying and were preaching the things which they had both heard and seen, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus, it came to pass that the disciples were gathered together and were united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again shewed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, what will ye that I should give unto you? And they saith unto him, Lord, we will that thou shouldst tell us the name whereby we shall call this church. For there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have they not read the scripture which saith, ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by his name shall ye be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon him my name and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever ye shall do it in my name. Therefore, ye shall call the church in my name, and ye shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake. And how be it my church, save it be called in my name? You know, it's funny. I find all the time that the services all follow together. And I sat down this morning in Sunday school, and you guys started studying, and Gary referred to this scripture. And not only that, but when I was studying last night, I read the second chapter of Nephi, 12th chapter, or the second Nephi 12th chapter, you know, in my preparation. So I think it's just a testament of the way the Lord's Spirit moves, how he'll cause the services to just follow along. One of the participants in our phone church that we have every week, Margaret Owen, who I think a lot of you will know, she lives up in Alaska right now. We've had a time change, so it's not quite as early as it used to be for her. But before the time change, she was on 6 in the morning on phone church, her time, out there in Alaska. And recently, Andy and Debbie Brown were visiting up there with her, and they started out first thing in the morning. They just kind of followed her routine. And so she started out with phone church, and then they went right to, I believe, the temple lot to live streaming, and then they went back to Phoenix for live streaming. And she said one of the things that was just real apparent, Debbie was talking about this, was that all these services, all the sermons, and all these different locations all just followed one right along with the next. And so I believe that is the way the Lord moves, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Another thing we discussed in Sunday school class this morning. So we see that, you know, everything we do is in the name of Jesus Christ. When we pray, we call on him, we call on God in his name. Even when we're praying for the church, we call on God in the name of Jesus. Let me continue reading here. For if a church be called in Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. Or if it be called in the name of a man, then it be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church, if it so be that they are built upon my gospel. Verily I say unto you, that ye are built upon my gospel, therefore ye shall call whatsoever thing ye do, call in my name. Therefore, if ye call upon the Father for the church, if it be in my name, the Father will hear you. And if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father shew forth his own works in it. But if it be not built upon my gospel, and is built upon the works of men, or upon the works of the devil, verily I say unto you, they have joy in their works for a season, and by the end cometh, and they are hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence there is no return. For their works do follow them, for it is because of their works that they are hewn down. Therefore remember the things that I have told you. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I had been lifted up on the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so shall men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. You know, one of the things I've become aware of over the years being drawn to a church and being drawn to the Lord, those are very close. But they're not the same thing. You can attend and not really dedicate your heart. And I say that because I want to emphasize today that what I bring to you is personal. It's about your relationship with God. It's about whether you have committed. Are you along as a spouse? Are you truly committed to God? Are you, I had a coach in high school, and I don't know what brought it up, but one day we were talking about what churches we went to, and he told me what church he went to, and he told me why. And it had to do with their basketball team. And so I'm trying to emphasize, this is not just a neat club of people. This is a group of people, each individually, who seek after, who follow Jesus Christ. That's what the church is. I've also thought about this conundrum I've just read to you. I remember in Hebrews, the 6th chapter and 6th verse, it talks about, kind of a frightening verse, it talks about, you know, that if once we believe, if we turn away, that we crucify Jesus afresh and put him to an open shame. Do you ever think about that? That makes me nervous. Well, think about this situation that I've actually read to you. How would you feel if you killed a man? And when you died, you went to him to be judged. Feel dangerous? That is the situation. It says here that his father brings all the souls back to him to be judged. That he draws all men unto him. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled, and if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not to the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return. Because the justice of the Father, and this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilled the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. And this is the commandment, repent all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye do also. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. I had a big learning a while back in my life. I grew up right here. I came to this church, this local. Came here for 41 years. And when we moved to Cincinnati, I didn't know anybody. When we had church, it was me and my family. Fortunately, it wasn't long till we were traveling about 2.5 hours and meeting with another family, and we spent a long time working with them. Lo and behold, after they moved to Phoenix, we ended up meeting with some of the kids in the neighborhood for about 3 or 4 years, and then after that, that's when we started Phone Church, which was a real blessing too. But the thing I learned is that here I could come. I guess this is a confession. Here I could come and attend. I don't think anybody was ever the wiser if I would just come and attend. But out in Ohio, when there's just your family sitting around the coffee table studying together, you know, there's no back row. If you're sleeping, everybody knows it, and you get woke up. And if you're not participating, nobody's participating. Everybody is doing church. They can't just attend. Actually, I had a friend out in Cincinnati that discovered that. He's not from our church, but he said something woke him up. Some severe things happened in his life, and he started going to the same church he'd always gone to and started listening to the words of the songs he sang. He started listening to the words that the preacher was bringing, and then he started to study for himself, and it began to bring a change into his life. I don't know where he is today. I don't know how far that's taken him. But what I'm talking to you about is what's going on in your life. I think actually, I'd like to read about seven more verses here, and then I'm going to turn over to John. St. John, third chapter. So you can go ahead and look that up and stick your finger in it. Now that you got that open, I'm going to have you read back here where we were. In the third book of Nephi, I'm going to start reading with the 13th chapter. I'm just going to read the first seven verses. It says, "Write the things which ye have seen and heard, save it be those which are forbidden. Write the works of this people, which shall be even as hath been written of that which hath been. For behold, out of the books which have been written, and which shall be written, shall this people be judged. For by them shall their works be known unto man. And behold, all things are written by the Father. Therefore, out of the books which shall be written, shall the world be judged. And know ye that ye shall be judged of this people according to the judgment which I shall give unto you, which shall be just. Therefore, what manner of man had ye ought to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am. And now I go unto the Father. And verily I say unto you, whatsoever things ye shall ask the Father in my name, it shall be given unto you. Therefore ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And now behold, my joy is great, even unto fulfillness, open, even unto fullness, because of you, and also this generation, yea, and even the Father rejoiceth, and also all the holy angels, because of you and this generation, for none of them are lost." And then it goes ahead and talks of some regrets about part of their generations that later on will become lost. But I want to back up and read, you know, relook at this sixth verse a bit. I'll read it again. "And verily I say unto you, whatsoever things ye shall ask the Father in my name, it shall be given unto you. Therefore ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." I think this is a discussion I've been in on many times with others. I know it's a discussion I've been on many times with myself. when I pray about different things, and sometimes it seems like the Lord gives a real clear answer. And other times, not so clear. Other times it seems like he doesn't answer me. And one of the things I've become aware about is that, you know, as it talks about in Romans, the 8th chapter, you know, often we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. And I find sometimes when he answers me and he answers me clear, that I honestly was, in my ignorance, I was praying with the wrong concerns. And when he answered me, it kind of made me feel silly for what I was asking. And I think the truth of it is that many times when we pray to God, it's because we need a change. We need a change personally in our life. And that you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same old thing, just as we've done it before, and expecting a different outcome. And that's our nature. We think we can just do exactly as we've done before, and somehow things are going to improve. Many times when we ask God, when he answers, it breaks down our idols, the things that we have in our heart that have to change, the distractions, the beliefs that we have that we're a little mistaken on. And I find that many times when I feel like he's slow to answer me, it's because I'm only listening in relation to what I'm concerned about. And have kind of a fear that a clear answer is going to bring about a need for me to change, or even to abandon some of the ideas I've had before. I share this with you because I feel like it does pertain. God's put it on my heart to say it. You know, we pray to God sometimes, and how do I compare this? Do you ever make a phone call, and it's to a person that's never available, and you leave a message? And every time you call them, you call and leave a message, and you call them one time, and they answer the phone, and it's like you don't even know what to say. It's like takes you back, and you, oh, wait, I was just going to leave a message, you know. Well, I think sometimes we get to talking to God that way. We pray, and we're just kind of praying to leave a message. And if he answers us, at least I've never seen it be, or when he answered me, I didn't need to change something. So we had to be willing. I met a man recently. He lives high up in the mountains, outside of Ocali in Honduras. He has 15 kids. When I heard that, I thought, well, that's a figure of speech. They're just saying he has a lot. But then my sister, Joni Gill, was actually able to name 14 of them. He has a lot of kids. I first met him my first day in Honduras. He was down in Zamorano with his whole family at church. And he's an elder there. The second time I met him was about 2 days later. We had a service up in Ocali, and he was at our brother Armando's house with his whole family again. And we had a church service there. But it's funny how you meet somebody and you feel immediately close to them. Even though I didn't speak the language, it just seemed like we connected. But over the week and a half that I was there, I learned so much more about him begin to appreciate him so much more. I'm not just sure what all he'd been praying about. I don't know all the details of the story. But God, it was either a dream or a vision, actually showed him the inside of a church. And he said it was real strange. He'd been in a lot of churches, but he'd never seen one like that. The church, as you entered the back door, you were on one level, and as you walked forward to the pews, it just kept dropping down lower and lower towards the front. And the podium is at the bottom. And so it kind of is on different levels going up to the back. And he thought, well, that's very different. I haven't seen a church like that before. And God told him, this is my church. Go there. And he didn't know where it was. He'd never seen a church like that. But lo and behold, he had a friend that invited him to go to his church with him one day, and so he did. And there it was. He walked inside, and that was exactly what he had seen in his dream. And it was kind of funny. As the story goes, I guess he went right to the minister and asked to be baptized. And they said, well, we're going to need to talk. We need to see what you believe and if you truly want to be baptized into Christ. And he said, well, okay, but I already know this is where I'm supposed to be and that I'm supposed to get baptized. So whatever it takes, Well, let me embellish on the story a little bit by telling you this. His friend asked him, and so he went to church with his friend. He walks 2.5 hours one way to get to Zamorano, where that church is. People down there don't have money, and he doesn't have a vehicle. And what vehicle do you put 15 kids in? And it's not 15 because not all of them are at home still. Some of them have grown up and have kids of their own. But if he could afford a car, what would he get that he could travel? Plus, I've been up there, and you can't take your Toyota. It's four-wheel drive country. It's walking country. So every week, like the first time I met him, where his whole family was there, he and his wife and all those kids walked 2.5 hours to be at church. And that's routine. And this isn't about tough feet. It's not about good endurance and being in shape. It's talking about that there is a state of faith. There is a state of your heart where walking 2.5 hours to church is nothing. And that's what I'm here to talk to you about, is the absolute priority of Jesus and his salvation. In the beginning, first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I think, in just a few short words, that gives us our priorities. All the things we're involved in melt away. In Isaiah, he says, I am the Lord thy God, and there is none else. There is none else. That's how it pertains to you. He is the absolute priority in your life. I had you open to John. Third chapter, first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And I think of what it is to be born. I'm fortunate in life, being a nurse. I have seen many births, both my own kids and then the time I worked in OB. I've seen many births, and I have to tell you, it's a miracle. It is a miracle. And I've actually talked to other nurses just to see what they thought and what they felt. But when I was there and I experienced those births, something spiritual happened. And other nurses actually agree with me. There's something else going on there besides what is just the very apparent. We are given life by God. We are created by Him. We are given breath by Him. Our dependence on Him is absolute. And it's funny, it's not affected by your faith. If you don't have faith in Him, His power is not diminished. You can walk away from Him. You cannot partake of His benefits. But it doesn't diminish Him. Doesn't change Him. Not one bit. He is God. He is all supreme. I want to turn over to Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start reading with the 6th verse. I'll read down through 12, I believe. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then we that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, ye are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. I wanted to read that just to emphasize the difference when you're born again. That you're born and you leave behind that which is carnal, that which is flesh, and you become a new man. A spiritual being, having the Spirit of Christ with you, being guided by the Holy Ghost. And actually, quick, let me turn over. I'm going to read somewhere else. It's in Alma, the 16th chapter. Verse Actually, Ronnie and I were talking last night, and he brought this up. Amos 16th chapter, verse 190. Page 427. But behold, this is not all. These are not the only ones which have spoken concerning the Son of God. Behold, he was spoken of by Moses. Yea, and behold, a type was raised up in the wilderness, that whosoever would look upon it might live. And many did look and live. But few understand the meaning of those things, and this because of the hardness of their heart. But there were many which were so hardened that they would not look, therefore they perished. Now the reason that they would not look is because they did not believe that it would heal them. Oh, my brethren, if you could be healed by merely casting about your eyes that you might be healed, would you not behold quickly? Or would you rather harden your hearts in unbelief and be slothful, that you would not cast about your eyes that ye might perish? And if so, woe come upon you. But if not so, then cast about your eyes and begin to believe in the Son of God, that he will come to redeem his people, that he shall suffer and die to atone for their sins, and that he shall rise up from the dead, which shall bring to pass the resurrection, that all men shall stand before him to be judged at the last and judgment day according to their works. And now, my brethren, I desire that ye should plant this word in your hearts, and as it beginneth to swell, even so nourish it by your faith. And behold, it will become a tree springing up in you unto everlasting life. And then may God grant unto you that your burdens may be light through the joy of his Son. And even all this can ye do if ye will. Amen. And I think about this, and it seems simple. Yeah. We look to him. Those that came up here this morning or that asked for administration, you look to him that you might be healed. You that are suffering, that your heart's gotten far off from God, you look to him to be healed. He draws all people unto him. I can't tell you how much it meant to us this week, sitting in the hospital, that we could look to Jesus for help. Years ago, I was a cardiac nurse. So a lot of the detail is a little bit more apparent for me. And we were talking to the doctor one day. I was pleased with her. She spent a long time with him that day answering questions and stuff. And she turned around and on a whiteboard and started drawing his heart. She drew the path that the arteries take through the heart. And she showed him where the occlusion was that created his heart attack, and told us the name of that artery. And I didn't say anything. My heart just dropped. That's not the one you want. Actually, you could look it up on the internet if you wanted to. Back in my day, we called it the Widowmaker. And I'm not going to take it all. He can tell you. He's got a lot to tell you about. The life-saving miracles that he's been through this week. I think one of them was that in his time of need, all these people came in from home. They all rushed in to do this procedure and to help him. I think that's a miracle. Well, that's one type of miracle. The truth is, for salvation, there's not another way. We're given one way to heaven. It's by His salvation. It's through and by Jesus Christ. We must turn to Him. You know, in preparing the sermon, there was one scripture I couldn't find very well, and so I went in the computer and I looked it up. I used a reference. Jesus isn't a reference. He's the whole. He's everything. He is everything. And if you have not turned to Him, if you've not given yourself to Him, do it. There's not another way. There's not another way. My prayers are for you. My prayers are with you. I think, read one more verse. It's a short one. Out of Messiah. I feel like I've had in my life so many blessings and so many miracles. Sometime you'll have to sit down and talk to me about the Honduras, because I just can't get over it right now. It was a life-changing experience to go down there. Messiah, second chapter. Thirteenth verse. No, let me back up and start at the 10th. And also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, and continue in the faith even to the end of his life. I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world. For all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even to the end of the world, and this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that He is, that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now if you believe these things, see that you do them. I would say, and I don't mean this in any way disrespectful, but If my father had passed a week ago, we would have all been sad. But that's not the tragedy. That is not a tragedy. The tragedy is when you're not born again. The tragedy is when you're not His. When you pass from this life and you don't go to God. Make the Lord your absolute priority. Thank you.